Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you know we're going to have a Solartopia, Solartopia.
This is Harvey Sluggo Wasserman here for another hour in the Green Power and Wellness Show at PRN. Thanks to the crew in New York. We're going to get right down to it. This is our last show before the most important midterm election probably in human history. It will decide whether or not we're going to have a fascist and government in this country that is irretrievable. This is about the irretrievability of the potential fascist regime of Donald Trump. We've seen this past 2 years what it means to have a psychopath like this in the White House. And we've also seen the degradation, the complete all-out, completely ad hoc attack on our electoral system with this massive disenfranchisement, which we call strip, and electronic manipulation, which we call flip, to put it's no longer a Republican Party. It's you can't call it the Republican Party anymore. It's the Trump Party any more than the party in power in Germany under Hitler was a separate party. The votes on the justices to go into the court system, we saw that there was virtually nothing that will shake the Republican Party from voting along with Trump. On the horrendous Brett Kavanaugh, there was one abstention, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, and every other Republican, so-called Republican, voted with Trump for this horrible piece of garbage that they put on the Supreme Court. So we now, today, in this last, and we've done, of course, countless shows on election theft and voter disenfranchisement. So now we're down to the nitty gritty here. We have Mimi Kennedy. Mimi, you with us?
I am, Harvey. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm here.
To have you? Good. Susie Shannon.
I'm here, Harvey. Thanks.
All right, Susie, our one member of the Democratic National Committee. Glad to have you on. John Brakey. John, you with us? John Brakey, not with us? Okay, and Joel Siegel?
Hello, greetings and salutations to you, your listeners, and your special guest who happened to be my friend.
All right, very good. Well, we're glad to have you. I'm not sure where John Brakey is. Hopefully he'll turn up because I think he actually has good news to share with us. Mimi, you know about this. Let's start with a victory. What is happening now that in Florida and with the some of this machines that's going on?
Okay. In Florida, where we just had that panel in Broward County, John had an instinct we got to get to Florida. We had talked about ballot images and other things on that panel in Broward County, where then that nut sent out the packages from. However, they, being Audit USA, John Brakey's ballot images project, sent the customary letter to the Secretary of State of Florida, I think it's Dentzner, and Ruth, I'm pretty sure he'll tell you, and said, you got to save these ballot images. Here are the laws you're breaking. If you don't, that you have to tell your counties to do it and just issue a reminder. It was very polite language. And we'll take you to court if you don't. As John says, first I hug them, then I go to court. So he said, issue a polite reminder, and they were going to go to court. And what do you know? The reminder has gone out from the elections office of the state of Florida to the counties that if they destroy ballot images, they are breaking the law. So there it is on record. There is no impunity now to destroying the ballot images. If people go for the ballot images and they destroy them, that's much easier to find out real quick than to go for the paper ballots, which Tim Canova did after the Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Tim Canova primary in the Democratic Party, in which Debbie Wasserman Schultz squeaked by. Tim challenged the election, went to get the paper ballots after winning in court months later, and the ballots were destroyed with impunity. Yes, against federal law, but they just did it. So now you can find out quicker and take action quicker. But the registrars know people will be looking at their elections. So if they're going to allow cheating or enable cheating or leave the back door open for cheating, they're going to get caught. They won that.
What's going to happen?
Florida did it before going to court. These states don't want to go to court. They know they'll lose. And you know what? Now he's in Michigan. That may be why he's not on the line right now. Michigan is today. I think they, because they'd sent out the letter, they're supposed to hear from the Secretary of State of Michigan by, I believe, yesterday. And they have a Michigan lawyer now, as well as their national lawyer, Chris Sauter. But they always need state people on the ground, and they're gathering plaintiffs, and now they have their lawyer. So they may be going to court in Michigan today.
All right, so let's explain this flat out.
Okay.
We have this new machine technology, which you and John Brakey and other voting rights activists have reason to believe can give us a fair and decent vote count. And this
for
involves,
now, they can. We know these new paper ballot scanners. It's not touchscreen. This is a paper ballot system. And to count the votes, you need to scan the ballots, pick up all the votes and the dots, and then from those, the picture of that ballot and its dots, you gain the vote count. So these ballot images that are taken with the dots on them, the filled-in ovals, they're part of the chain of custody. And they're created immediately as that scanner seeks to count each ballot. Michigan is all paper ballots. I think Florida is too at this point, maybe a few exceptions. But this scan of paper ballots can provide a picture of each paper ballot. And registrars have been destroying the pictures and then refusing access to the paper ballots. So a smelly election in which a computer might have been hacked and manipulated the vote count, which is a mathematical problem that hackers know how to solve, they can manipulate that vote count, but they can't manipulate the ballot images yet. I wouldn't stake my life on it for all time, but right now it's very difficult. So if you keep these ballot images, you can look pretty fast at whether the cast vote record, just the mathematical vote count, was manipulated or not. And these are pictures, and they're in a digital file, like your pictures of your family for the last 20 years, 15 maybe on a computer. Yep.
And so the system as it stands, ironically in Florida, where we had the hanging chads, and where, by the way, and it's amazing to me what comes out after a hearing. How many of you on the phone and listening in knew that Brett Kavanaugh was part of the so-called Brooks Brothers riot, where all these fascist yuppies went in 2000 and staged a Gestapo assault on the people who were counting the ballots, and they stopped the ballot count physically with mob action. How many of you knew that Brett Kavanaugh was part of that? He was part of the Brooks Brother mob.
I did. I heard that. I knew that. And meanwhile, John Bolton was in there watching the count. And Brett Kavanaugh was out rioting to stop that count. They were all over it, and they've all been rewarded. All the people who knew what happened in Florida 2000, before 9/11, yes, they've all been rewarded.
Right. So one thing, by the way, we have to watch our language. I know that in general, on PRN, we can say pretty much anything we want, but I'm passing this show along to the Pacifica Network, and they're not allowed to run the seven deadly words. So we do need to restrain ourselves just a little bit. We do want Pacifica to carry these shows. So, I'm the worst offender, but we just got to watch it on this.
Okay.
So, yeah, so at any rate, that is an amazing fact. Brett Kavanaugh, this low-life scumbag, and those are not words that are prohibited, that is now in the U.S. Supreme Court, was part of the fascist mob that prevented the fair vote count in Florida 2000, about which, by the way, Al Gore has yet to say anything, and got himself on the Supreme Court all these years later. It is quite amazing. And I think it's great, Mimi Kennedy, and I don't know if I've been joined by John Brakey yet. He's probably just running around somewhere. It's great that these machines and this discipline on the vote count is going to happen in Florida. And, of course, Florida is a very important swing state. God help us if that creep, Rick Scott, gets into the U.S. Senate. I think the polls show him trailing right now. But, you know, this former governor, while he's still the governor, actually, of Florida, one of the worst human beings we've ever encountered in our political system, is running for Senate against the incumbent Ben Nelson, who is a very weak candidate, and God help us if he gets in. But maybe this time we'll get a fair vote count in Florida. Maybe this technology will sweep. Because what happened in 2000, Joel and Susie, I'm sure you know, and Mimi, is after 2000, with all the hanging vote chads, the Congress,
Help America Vote Act.
Yes, passed the Help America Vote Act, led by a guy named Bob Ney, N-E-Y from Ohio, wound up in prison, and they put in all these more easily hackable electronic voting machines. Ronnie Duggar of the Texas Observer came to Columbus, and I was talking to him, and he said that these electronic voting machines that they're putting in are machines perfectly designed to steal elections, and that's what they've been doing. But these new ones, apparently, give us the capability to track hand-rendered paper ballots electronically in a reliable fashion, and then we still have the hand submitted paper ballots, and we have a digital image, and so we should be able in the future, if these machines are properly deployed, to get a reliable vote count, even though at this point in time the election officials are refusing to flip the switch and don't even want to produce electronic ballots. Is that right, Mimi?
That's right. It doesn't cost anything to preserve the digital file of ballot images. It's a menu selection. Select, save all ballot images, save only write-in ballot images, save none. And many people save none, because that's what the vendors tell them to do, and that, of course, is what the fraudsters want, and we don't know who the fraudsters are, and we don't know if it's laziness or ignorance. In fact, if it were ignorance, John Brakey put up the ES&S manual pages that shows the menu and how easy it is to choose to save ballot images. He put it up on his website and invited election officials in to look and learn, and ES&S sent a threat letter saying, "We're going to sue you if you don't take that down, because that's our copyright."
Yeah,
and Chris Sautert sent back a letter going, "I'm sorry, this is fair use. This is education from your manual. We don't have the machines. We're showing the manual to people who have the machines."
It's really unbelievable that, I mean, talk about the chutzpah. Joel, let me get to you in 1 second, because I do want to bring Susie Shannon in here.
Sure.
And then we'll talk with you, Joel Siegel. You're in D.C. The rest of us are in California. Susie Shannon, you are just working here, what's left of you, on this election. And you are in California with Mimi and me. And you're really right at the where the rubber meets the road. Tell us what you've been doing. And then tell us, you know, we have seven or eight key swing congressional elections here in California. And all the attention has been elsewhere, but California really is going to play a huge role in shaping the new Congress. So what have you been doing, and what do you see developing here in California in these all-important congressional races?
Sure. So first of all, thank you for having me on the show. So we have eight swing districts, and every Thursday I've been running phone banks since February into these swing districts, basically talking to voters, trying to convince people to vote for the Democratic candidate. And we did this up until the primary, and then after the primary, we had, two candidates left, one Democrat and one Republican, each of these districts. And they're all extremely close. And I know that, you know, this show is mainly about, a lot of the election issues and voter suppression. I have to say that it's really important that we're paying attention to voter suppression, particularly in districts where it's a very close race. And so we've just been calling into these districts. Most of them are toss-up. There's statistical ties in most of these districts. So we have, the Jeff Denham, who's a Republican, being challenged by Jeff Harder in California 10. That's very close. David Valadeo and TJ Cox in California 21, which is up in Hanford, which is more central California.
David Valadeo is a Republican, right?
Yeah. Susan. And then Steve Knight and Katie Hill. There was a poll that showed Katie Hill 4 points up, and now the latest poll showing Steve Knight 4 points up. But, of course, these are both in the margin of error, so that's a statistical tie. We have Ed Royce and Gil Cisneros.
Katie Hill is a Democrat.
Right now.
Sorry, go ahead. I was just pointing out that Katie Hill is a Democrat.
Yeah, and there's Mimi Walters and Katie Porter. Diane Harkey and Mike Levin down in San Diego, Mike Levin being the Democrat, that actually shows Mike Levin 14 points up. So I think that's one of the districts that at least, the Democrat is fairly far ahead. And then Devin Nunez and Andrew Jantz being the Democrat in Fresno in California 22, another very close race. And then Duncan Hunter and Amar Campanijar with Hunter up, I think, 3 points, which is within the margin of error. So, again, a statistical tie in California 50. These are extremely close races. And interestingly, we can't just rely on Democrats to vote for the Democratic candidate. And I only say that, and it's fairly anecdotal, but just having run a lot of these phone banks every Thursday into swing districts, there were a couple of districts that we were calling where we were calling Democrats, saying there was only one Democrat in the race, and people were still saying, well, I have to do my research. So it's very important that people get out and vote, and that they vote, I think, for the Democratic candidate, obviously, because I'm with the DNC, and I share a lot of those values, obviously. But it's not, just looking at the voter registration, it's not something we can take for granted that people are going to be coming out and necessarily voting for the Democrat. So we've been pounding away on the phones. I know a lot of people have been, engaged in text messaging and a lot of other ways to get out the vote. But I mean, this election is so important, I think it's just very important that it be an indictment on Trump, and I would say that his lack of values and a lot of what's gone on in this country under his administration.
Yeah. So now there is some in California. There are some of the races which are extremely important because of the stature on the right wing side. For example, Dana Rohrabacher, who's a very, very far right, extremely nasty and very powerful Republican in Congress. Of course, Devin Nunez, who's led the charge to protect Trump from being investigated on his Republican ties. Duncan Hunter is just a complete, basically a hardcore right wing figure. People don't realize that these election races are in California, not out in the great, in the great middle section of the country. Are you seeing situations, Susie Shannon, and then we'll go to Joel and maybe kick in on this. Are you seeing situations in California where there are problems with voter suppression and reasons to mistrust the vote count? I know, Mimi, you've got a big issue with the audit, let Susie say a couple words, and then I want to hear what you've got to say about the audit situation.
Yeah, so I think it's mainly anecdotal. I haven't seen, like, any, you know, articles on you know, huge problems here with voter suppression. But I will say that just anecdotally, there are people who have voted, who I know who have voted in, like, almost every election, you know, in the past, you know, what, decade at least, who just are not on the voter rolls when they check. And so I would just caution everyone to check, make sure, you know, if you haven't gotten your election materials yet, you should have. Make sure you're on the voter roll. And, you know, I mean, we were doing a big push before October 22nd, which is the deadline in California to register to vote, just to make sure that people either knew they were on there or they re-registered if they weren't. And I'm just, you know, I'm becoming a huge proponent of people just re-registering to vote, because I just think there's, you know, given the purgings, and I wouldn't say this is obviously California, but just giving the purging of voters, and, you know, we had a slight glitch here in our last election, which was just the printing error with people not actually, you know, showing up on the rolls when they went to vote at the polls. I just think it's good and maybe a good precaution to just re-register to vote if you haven't done that for a while, or if you haven't voted for a while, you know, just to make sure. And I mean, this election is extremely important, obviously, but 2 years from now when we have the presidential election, again, you know, that's going to be extremely important, and we don't want anyone not to be able to vote because they're not on the rolls or they're purged or...
Okay.
You know, and just take that
precaution. Mimi, I'm going to come back to you in a minute. Let's let Joel Siegel jump in here. Joel, I know you've been working with some of the civil rights groups on voter suppression. What are you hearing around the country now on voter suppression?
Oh, I really, by the way, amen to Susie and what Mimi just said. I've been working on this issue since 2000. This is actually my 18th year working on voter suppression. I just want to make two quick comments. Mimi Kennedy is not only a brilliant actress, but she literally has an encyclopedic knowledge of voting machines. And I really wish that there'd be some kind of a commission that would be developed. I think it has to be done through the Progressive Caucus to come up with an election protection program. It doesn't exist. And until we have a federal unified voting system, we're never going to solve this problem, because you cannot have the individual states and localities be in charge of this, because there's just too much room for fraud, manipulation, because there's actually have written legislation on voting machines that was based on Mimi Kennedy's work that was introduced by Representative Johnson, I believe, from Atlanta. And Mimi for years has been talking about paper ballots, and I just wanted to mention that about Mimi. Secondly, there's already been lots of reports of people voting straight ticket Democrat, and then they look at the machine that says Republican. So we know that that also has to be part of the examination by, let's say, a Progressive Caucus, some kind of a commission. And that's our machine technology is antiquated. They break down. The technology can be, you know, easily broken into. In terms of voter suppression, I just got the phone with Barbara Onwine. There are reports of massive voter suppression in the red states. Massive. However, what we find out is that this is the largest voter turnout since 1961. As you know, in Georgia, 1 out of 10 voters were purged, mainly black. There's a lot of purging going on. There's also a lot of problems with people who filled out applications for early voting that, you know, ended up in the trash can, and the local officials don't know where they went. So California is a little bit different when you're dealing with the South, where I'm from, where I live now, where there's a large African-American population. They have absolutely disenfranchised. Now, let me tell you the facts. it's either going to be 30 million to 80 million people will be disenfranchised this election cycle. Where we have been successful with the Transformative Justice Coalition, Voting Rights Alliance, other groups across the country, especially Greg Palast's work on voter purging, is there's a lot more people who are fighting back, who are saying, hell no. I don't know if I'm supposed to use that word. I don't know if that's one of those words.
That one's all right. We're good with that one.
Okay. So they know their rights, and that was one of the campaigns that Barbara Unwin and the Transform Justice Coalition, we thank you for being on our board. But I'll just say that it's going to get worse before it gets better, because as our nation gets blacker and browner and younger people are voting more Democratic, it's just going to get worse. And I'll close by saying that we're going to have a national discussion with progressive leaders of having a unified approach to both voter suppression and the machines. And we can also start by passing Representative Sewell's bill, the VRA. We have to restore the Voting Rights Act. Until we can get the Voting Rights Act, that's the 1965 Civil Rights Act, which was gutted by the Supreme Court, where you had to get pre-clearance from the Department of Justice if you change any of your voting laws. We're going to have this conversation for a very, very long time. The good news is that the people united will never be defeated. But thanks for giving me a chance to talk.
All right, well, stay on the line. I got to tell you, I just had a wonderful experience. One of my articles was rejected by a magazine that I've written for 50 years, The Progressive. I've never been happier to have an article rejected, because I did a whole laundry list of where the votes are being suppressed in the United States. And we've been doing this, I've been doing it since 2004, when it happened in Ohio. And when Bob Fetrakis and I first started reporting on the theft of the Ohio election, I would do lists like these, where, you know, where we've seen voter suppression. And we would be labeled kooks and conspiracy theorists, and we were attacked in The Nation and in Mother Jones. And we were blacklisted from Daily Coast, and then for exactly this kind of reporting. And my editor at the Progressive, who I love dearly, said, we can't use this article because it's all common knowledge. So here we go, you know, from 2004, when we were conspiracy theorist nutcases, to 2018, where finally, you know, our stuff is old news. I was very happy to have that article rejected. So at least the word is definitely getting around. The situation, of course, is extremely, I mean, it couldn't be more serious. Donald Trump is in the White House because of voter suppression and electronic election theft, or what we call stripping and flipping. And we do have finally people standing up to it. Now, one of the people standing up to it has been Mimi Kennedy. And Mimi, we have an issue here in California. By the way, I am registered to vote in California. It was confirmed to me by email from the election board, but still haven't got my absentee ballot. So I'm a little miffed here. I don't know what's going on. Mimi, maybe you can help us out.
Is it your absentee ballot or your sample ballot?
I haven't gotten either one.
Did you ask for an absentee ballot this year?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and you haven't gotten it yet?
Correct, but I've gotten
it. You got it. For the minute we're off this radio show, you got to call the number at lavote.net that says if you didn't get your ballot, you got to call. And I'll give you that number if you can't find it online, but it's right there, lavote.net.
That's what they're reporting in the South. It's the absentee ballot. That is where the most vicious voter suppression is happening. In the South, right now, as we speak on this call, is absentee ballots. So it's not just you; it's all over. It's all over the nation. This was done consciously, deliberately, with the intent of making sure that progressives and Democrats and people of color could not vote. So I just want to let you know that. I just found that out earlier this afternoon.
One of the things I want to make clear that I have found out is that the corruption is unaccountable. In other words, ballots are stolen. Who organizes that? Do they actually vote them and send them in so they get recorded before anybody knows they didn't get their ballot and then complains? If you do complain and ask for another ballot, they will only count the most recent ballot that comes in. They'll somehow, they know how in their electronic computer system to void the ballot that you said you never got. They'll believe you. They'll void that ballot. So if a paper hacker has stolen, forged your ballot, and it's come in, you can prevent it from being counted, but only if you notice that you don't have your ballot and complain, Harvey. So you need to do that. Otherwise, you're not defending your own election protection. And yet, of course, it's become like a job, God knows, for a lot of us. It's a full day. You got to do a little something every day to protect your right to vote, because every day people are doing something to not protect it. Absentee ballots are a very rich game field for the gamers, the thieves, and we've all discovered it at some point. I see it as a poll worker. I see the people who don't know that they were registered vote by mail. They didn't want to be, but they were. Why? Because it's so easy to screw with your ballot if you don't even know that you're a vote by mail ballot. There are a lot of rules, and you don't know how to follow them, and you'll have to vote provisional. That exists in Florida. That exists, I know, in a lot of paper ballot states. So, in general, I have never been in the South, and I really want to be there to see an election sometime, because the more I hear, the more I think, you know, these are neighborhood-based precincts. I'm not sure that I would want to go in and face maybe the white people in my neighborhood who aren't happy I'm there and say, I'm here and I'm here to vote. I mean, it's scary. You know that story that Rachel Maddow covered where a young man, I think it was North Dakota, though, went in with registrations, and they went, we don't want your registrations here. Who are you? And who are you looking for? Democrat.
Exactly.
They arrested him. They didn't take the registrations. So it's scary. But what has happened in California, you see, is we're all electronic and online registration and all these things. Yes, they enfranchise more people. It is good. But it also is gameable, and it's sophisticated. So I would say that through my experience and what I know, voter suppression is done here electronically and in a micro-targeted way. John Brakey can tell us if he comes on. Micro-targeting is what it's become. Big data has given us the chance to kill Harvey Wasserman's vote and kill Mimi Kennedy's vote and kill anybody's vote you want to, by somehow their mail ballot doesn't get mailed out because that's an electronic process. Somehow other things don't happen, it's electronic. You've read about this with big data and Facebook and so forth. So that's where we are. So we, the endpoint user, have to fight for our right to vote. And as I say, if I were black and in the South, I'd be truly scared for my life and for my family. Here, I ain't scared, but I'm playing whack-a-mole trying to figure out what ways they're going to suppress the Democrats' vote. It's not so bad in L.A. County, so, Harvey, I think you'll get a ballot if you complain. But there are other counties where these Republicans feel they have to win, and they would love to rebuke the resistance in their communities. You know, they'd love to put out that media story. Oh, everybody loves Trump and the resistance fizzled. And they can do it electronically. That's the trouble. But we will have a red flag sign if they're doing it. And that will be glitches that make people vote provisional, innocent, unaccountable glitches. It's fine. They're going to vote provisional. It'll be counted. We have great paper ballots in California. But we all now know the secret. They don't have to audit that count. It'll be done on computers. And so when you see a 0.5% win, that was the late ballot count. So voter suppression is now merging with election fraud. It always has been election fraud. Anything done on the inside side, not by the outside, which is the voters. The Republicans are trying to say, oh, these voters, they're committing crimes. It's voter fraud. It's not voter fraud. It's election fraud from the inside, and there are many ways to do it. And we're waking up. We're woke. But it's about technology and process that's very hard to figure and is different everywhere. There's a different voting system. So this has been a graduate-level education that citizens need to get, but the first step is protect your own process and vote. And Harvey, sounds like you need to call LA County and say, I didn't get that mail ballot you sent me, so void it and send me another. And if you don't get one, there's early voting this weekend where you don't need your mail ballot. That's another good thing. I like early voting, long as the chain of custody is there and it's paper ballot, which it is. You can go early vote, and if you're registered, so you can just vote a regular ballot on Saturday or Sunday in Reseda. I invite you to do so.
You know, ironically, this is actually how I got into this issue. In 2004, in central Ohio, I applied for an absentee ballot, and I had to call four times.
Yep.
And they told me I wasn't registered, even though I was living in the same house for 30 years. And finally, I used the magic words, "I'm with the media." And then I got my absentee ballot. But, you know,
that's how I got mine, third time, L.A. County.
Yeah.
Went astray twice. So, now, that's not, the staff down there likes me. That's somebody, ESNS, I think, handles sending out our absentee ballots. And you never know what moles are left over inside those corporations that are still willing to do the dirty for a price.
It is amazing. Now, one other thing, and we'll go to Susie and Joel in a minute. But, and Mimi, you've been fighting the state of California on this auditing, the late auditing process. Can you tell us about that real quick? That's a big issue here.
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear from the Secretary of State, who's checking with his general counsel whether he could issue an emergency requirement due to the cyber circumstances that are in crisis. We are going to reverse this law, just this election, that exempted the provisional votes and the late arriving mail votes from any kind of hand audit of the computer count. He's going to issue a regulation. You can do it as a second percentage hand audit, but you've got to do some kind of hand audit on your paper ballots after the computers count them on that late count, because that could be 30% of the vote. And they can steal it on computers right now, and no one will ever look at the paper ballots. The second thing he has to do is say counties that have ballot images, 25 of them here, including L.A., in part, not in all, you've got to keep the ballot images so that if anything's wrong with the election, we got the images to go to. And if anybody is destroying them, I want you to know right now, as Florida found out, Virginia found out, and Michigan's finding out today, you got to keep him or you're breaking the law. I haven't heard from his office. I call every day, and yes, he's on it. He's checking with general counsel. So far, he hasn't done it. Either one.
So as it stands now, because of the law that the California Assembly passed, they don't have to. Well, tell us exactly what the law tells me, because I'll find this.
The law says they don't have to hand check the computer results of any mail ballots that arrive after Election Day. Only the ones that have been mailed early, and that includes all the mail ballots dropped off the polls on Election Day. They come in envelopes. The signature has to be checked. The eligibility of the address has to be checked. That takes 3-4 days. Those will be counted late, and that count will go through the computer software and not be hand-checked. All the early stuff, the election night stuff, that is all hand-checked to make sure the computer got it right. At least 1% of counties have to be randomly chosen, and 100% of those ballots have to be counted, and those results have to match the precinct count from the scanner. But not so. After Election Day, all those late ballots and the provisionals, which could be up to 92,000 as they were in June because of one mistake, all of a sudden they got 92,000 ballots now that are going to be counted late. That means they'll never be part of any hand check of the computer count. That means a hand check, an audit of a computer count, means you've run 100 ballots through the computer, and it says, you know, it was 40 to 60, and you have to choose. Maybe that precinct will get chosen to see, hey, is it really 40 to 60 or something else? And you hand count it, all the races there. So that's an audit, and we have one in California. Every county has to choose 1% of its precincts, and they're supposed to be randomly chosen, and the precincts are supposed to not know. We found registrars lying about that and choosing early. We cleaned that up with a law, and that happens on the election night results and the early arriving mail ballots. Late arriving mail ballots, anything after Election Day, which is going to be a lot, and all the provisionals, which might be a lot, and it'll differ county to county, they will be computer counted. And what the computer says goes. And nobody ain't going to be looking at anything. And don't think the bad guys don't know it in Devin Nunez's county, Fresno, or down in San Diego. Don't think they don't know it, or Orange County. I'm worried.
As part of this, yeah. Well, you know, these races with Dana Rourke, Susie Shannon has run through the swing, the key congressional races here, and they do involve heavy hitters like Devin Nunes and Dana Rohrabacher, who are really big evil guys, and Duncan Hunter. Susie Shannon, is the Democratic Party in California on top of this at all? Are they paying attention to what Mimi Kennedy is saying here?
So I wouldn't say necessarily paying attention about the audit. I mean, I know I was, and I was pushing for a meeting with Mimi and our Secretary of State, Alex Padilla.
You got me on the phone with him.
And I think, yeah. And so I know the California Democratic Party actually has a voter protection program that's called P2TV, and they have a hotline number. And basically, they're asking for people to call if there are any issues. So that would mean, you know, Harvey, with you not getting your ballot up until, you know, people showing up at the polls and their vote not being counted, people checking with their county afterward, and if their vote hasn't been counted, to call them and to let them know. And I'm just going to give that hotline number, if that's okay. It's in California, 877-321-8683. So that's 877-321-VOTE. And if you're out of California, anywhere else, the Democratic Party and a number of election protection activists have a line that you can call, which includes attorneys and a lot of organizations like the ACLU. And that hotline number is 833-336-8683. So that, and that's 833-DEM, D-E-M, VOTE, V-O-T-E.
So are they able to call those lines?
Yeah, so people can call either one of those hotlines if they're in California or outside of California, and let people know. There's also a Spanish hotline. I don't know if there's any folks who are primarily Spanish-speaking listening to the show, but that's 866-296-8686.
Joel Siegel, in a previous conversation, you said that the National Democratic Party has a hotline. Is that right?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
In a previous conversation I had with you, you said that the National Democratic Party has a hotline. Is that right?
I spoke to the Election Protection Division, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and they have a hotline. The only problem is, and I have to be kind of critical here, is that nobody knows about it that I am aware of, and this is one of the reasons why we need to have that kind of a commission that I was talking about earlier, that I think should be appointed by the probably the Progressive Caucus and the Congressional Black Caucus, working in conjunction. There's an actual Black Caucus with the DNC, but the priority of the Democratic Party, and I'm not finger pointing and trying to be all mean spirited, is to raise money, to, at least in Washington D.C. and most every other state I've worked in, is to raise money to do television commercials. But they really don't give enough money for precinct captains. You know, it's a real, real problem. And not knowing or not having a plan for election protection is inexcusable. It's incompetence at the highest level. So when I spoke to the officials in North Carolina, they immediately, literally within 48 hours of my conversation, issued a press release where they gave the emergency number, but this is why it's so important to have like a Progressive Democrats of America, for example, so that the Democratic Party can, you know, be on the cutting edge of these very, very serious challenges. And maybe your other guests know what that number is, but
833-DEM-VOTE. Susie just gave it.
Yeah, I just gave it, actually, for anyone outside of California. Yeah, it's 833-DEM-VOTE, D-E-M-V-O-T-E.
That's a national number, not just a California number.
That's national, right. I gave both. I gave both the California one and the national one if you're out of California.
Right.
So, Susie, you are a member of the DNC. Is it correct to say you're the only Bernie supporter on the DNC right now?
I'm the only Bernie delegate that was elected to the DNC from California. Yes.
Oh, okay. So
there's about 25 or 26 of the 447 members of the DNC that supported Bernie Sanders altogether nationally.
All right. And has this sunk in to the Democratic National Committee? Everything I'm reading now, and you guys can correct me. Let's go to the bigger picture here. Everything I'm reading now says that there is a blue wave, that the Republicans and especially Trump have performed so badly, and of course we've had this horrible slaughter in Pittsburgh, and I got to take a minute out.
Yeah.
I have very close friends in Pittsburgh, and I have relatives in Pittsburgh, and they could have been in that synagogue. You know, they're Orthodox. This was a conservative synagogue. But they could, a random choice, I could have lost relatives in that thing. And, you know, this is a Midwestern town. I grew up in Columbus. I know what that would have done to Columbus. And for Trump to show his face in that town I have a piece up about this, by the way, at Op-Ed News. It's called Trump's Pittsburgh Holocaust. And so, I'm not going to go off on here. I've been getting some comments, and I, in this piece, compare Trump to Hitler. And I'm going to say very clearly here that I do not believe that there is a significant moral or emotional difference between Donald Trump and Hitler. That the reason Trump is not Hitler, the key word is yet. He's not yet Hitler. But, you know, the United States, unlike Germany, does have a democratic tradition. And that's the only thing that is preventing Donald Trump from becoming Hitler. Having observed, as you have, Donald Trump in action for the last 2 years as a historian, I see no significant moral, emotional, or other different political difference between Donald Trump and Adolf Hitler. And Hitler, I think, was probably a little more intelligent than Trump. But, I don't see where the only thing that's preventing Donald Trump from being Hitler is us and this election. And so, you know, this Pittsburgh thing, that really could not have struck closer to home to me unless my actual people had been in that synagogue. And it could happen anywhere. But that has happened. The bombing has happened. The guy mailing out the pipe bombs, clearly a Trump supporter. The incredible murder of Khashoggi. I mean, how do you invent something like that? This guy walked into the embassy to get a marriage license. He was strangled and dissected. I mean, you know, so all this stuff has come out about Trump. I also say, and I mentioned this last week, the polls do show that the Kavanaugh hearings hurt the Republicans, which I thought they would. I mean, you know, Mitch McConnell saying it's going to energize his base and blah, blah, blah. People are horrified by this. If anybody had an impact on the election, it was Matt Damon on Saturday Night Live, who really got this guy nailed. So it has not been going in Trump's direction. And I think there will be a blue wave. I think they're in the middle of a blue wave. I had a piece of the progressive.org about all the people, including Susie and Mimi, who are working on this. The question now is, will the blue wave get its votes counted? And is the Democratic Party going to come finally awake and do something about this? Mimi, what do you think?
I don't see it because they act too late to do anything for this election, and they wait for the activists to make noise, and then they say they're going to cover it and make sure it doesn't happen again the next election. And this has been going on while the planet burns and while Trump enables white supremacists, racists, to be able to, you know, mow down Jews and people to black people. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you know, send the military to our border. Let's have a civil war. That would be good for selling arms. We've gotten very far because the Democratic Party has done nothing about elections that were supposed to have been won. The exit polls said so. All the anecdotes said so. And then we don't win. This happened presidential. It happens on the, you know, the level of Congress. It happens in the Senate. And they say, gerrymandering, it's gerrymandering. We have to connect that. Well, you can only correct gerrymandering if you've got a Democratic House, if you've got a different state legislature, and you can't elect it in those tiny districts that nobody's hardly ever looking at when there's election fraud there in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and elsewhere. And you can't, oh, let's have a citizen commission. Let's put that on the ballot, a citizen commission for gerrymandering. Well, again, that's up to the vote. And I have not seen the Democrats give a damn that the votes don't seem to be being counted correctly, let alone the racist voter suppression. And we know what Democrats were in the South for years, the Dixiecrats. I don't really know what goes on with all that old boys network and the gentlemen network and the white people and the women collude. And I don't know, but nobody's looking at this computer thing. People, ooh, computer, it's math. I'm scared. I don't know. I'm not a computer. I don't know. So we just have let it go on since 2002. So I'm sorry, you hear the anger in my voice. That's how I feel. They don't do anything about the count not being counted correctly. And once they start to try to do something, it's way too late. The facts are on the ground. The county registrar go, beam, I've certified the election. Chris Kobach or whoever, boom, I've certified the election. Brian Kemp says, I don't care. I'm doing what I want. So they keep going, you have to get out and vote. Well, fine. We're voting and donating and working. But you got to protect the vote. And I'm just trying to say to one California official, do what you can to protect the vote. One of them costs nothing. You can do it, the ballot images thing. And the other would take some boldness. But you could do it. Jeez. And I'm hearing crickets.
Yeah. Susie Shannon, you're on the DNC. And then Joel, what do you think? Is the Democratic Party going to finally come to bat here and do something, or are we once again going to see a blue wave just dissipate and wind up with another Republican Congress?
Well, so I think there's three ways, actually, that you tackle voter suppression. One is you stop it in its tracks. Two is you try to overcome it with high turnout, right, which is what sort of the recent Nation article was about. And three, you, in real time, alert people about problems that are happening at the polls through these voter hotlines. And I think the DNC has mainly been focused on the second, which is sort of overcoming voter suppression through high turnout. We know that there was a lot of voter suppression. We know that there were a lot of problems for, 2008 for the presidential election, but Obama won, and a lot of people would say, yeah, he won because so many people came out that we were able to overcome it. I'm, more of the thinking, and I'm hoping that the Democratic Party is seriously looking at this and prioritizing our resources to stopping it in its tracks. And I think, what we're seeing with the Stacey Abrams race for the Georgia gubernatorial election, with even these 53,000 applications that they're not even going to process or didn't want to process because the information didn't match exactly what the government had. And with Jimmy Carter speaking out and now Kamala Harris, I think that more and more, I think the Democratic Party is going to prioritize it. But I think there's sort of diminishing resources sometimes, partially because Democrats are not standing up the way that they should. And because of that, it's, it becomes this domino effect where then there's like a lack of resources, so they have to be prioritized. So I think it's up to us as activists to really keep pushing to get our people elected into the DNC so that we can be making noise on the inside as well to say, hey, this needs to be prioritized because the elections are going to be stolen. I mean, I read over, all these very, very close elections in California. Any one of them can be stolen with voter suppression, messing with the vote after the fact, or as people are voting. People voting for one candidate, they think they're voting for them and they're actually voting for another. Any of that can happen in California or any state. So if we're not for our own voters, then our candidates are just not going to get elected. And you see what the price is here. You know, and it's not just anti-Semitism. It's not just, you know, racism, but it's, you know, poor people who are being hurt. You know, it's Section 8 that's being cut. It's, you know, it's across the board. There's a lot at stake here.
Absolutely. The world is at stake. Susie Shannon, how do people get a hold of you?
They can reach me on Facebook at Susie Shannon, on Twitter at Susie Shannon, or they can email me at Susie Ann, A-N-N-E, Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-O-N, at gmail.com.
And Mimi Kennedy, and then we'll turn it over to Joel. Mimi, how do people get a hold of you?
Mimi Kennedy, L.A., or Mimi at pdamerica.org.
And, of course, we can see you on Moms, and we got to get our copy of Midnight in Paris. You are just both wonderful people and just a privilege to have you on, Joel Siegel. You're in the belly of the beast. You're in Washington. You're intimate with the Democratic Party. What's going to happen here?
What do I think is going to happen? I think unless there is one progressive, united, Democratic alliance network, I don't think anything is going to change. The history of the Democratic Party, doesn't matter if it was the passage of Medicare and Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, Social Security, is only when the people united and put unrelenting pressure on them. And that's the same paradigm with, you know, I've worked in the party since I'm 20 years old. I'm 59. I spent 13 years as John Conyers, senior legislative assistant and speechwriter and bill writer. And I can tell you that Democrats spent 70 to 80% of their time fundraising.
Was there an Adam? Was there
all right, that's it. Thank you so much.
Evolve?
No more fundraising.
Thanks. Bye, Susie. Bye, Joel.
Thank you.
Bye, Mimi. Hi, John.
Good luck.
Thank you, Harvey.
We are praying. Take care. Thank you.
Solotopia, Solotopia, Solotopia. Don't you know we're going to have a Solotopia all over town.